Alright, time for another draftphysics.com. Debate physics also, but nobody is interested in doing the conversation, the back and forth, the whatever, takes, that they're, it's a practical matter. I can't play both brains, because frankly I can't be as stupid as you people. I can try to be, I can imagine being retarded, but it's just, it's hard to do, to be retarded enough. Anyway, this is a draft video, because I was just thinking about energy, and the whole, and perpetual motion, and, in space, you throw something in space, and, it's interesting that it, the idea is it just keeps going. Well, the simple premise, I guess I would argue, is that the only difference between motion, and... Oh, it's a little too high. That's surprising. I gotta get this camera to stay, where you can see what I'm writing. Heat is that, motion is in one direction. You go in one way, and then heat is going both ways. You're just going back and forth. So heat is motion that doesn't have a direction, would be the simple argument. The pieces are going in all kinds of directions, and so there's no direction. And when you can let the heat, and you can release it in one direction, and the tricky word is release it, then you go in one direction. Because you got rid of something in the opposite direction. And so your balance changes. But first you have to absorb the motion, right? First you have to have heat to have velocity, to have motion, in a sense. You have to go through that transition, would be sort of the argument. So anyway, I was thinking about space and, how I'd do it differently, if I was controlling NASA. Because what I definitely have is like a little, I'd just send up a box, just send a box up into space that's, and it's one of those robotic arm things that are inside of there, little clawy arms, and they can do experiments with little clawy arms. And, because, the space shuttle thing, the flaw is the human beings, because any experiment they do inside of the space station is, it's not space, there's no gravity, no differential, because they're free falling, but the problem is there's still oxygen and all that other crap in the air. And so any experiment you do, like you could take just a blob of water, and you could poke it with your finger, and the question, would it jiggle forever? I mean, any energy you put into it, how does it get rid of the energy? Because, the theoretical argument is that whatever, whatever way it pushes this way, and then that pushes, but it pulls it back in again, it goes this way, and then it goes back in again. And those motions could all be thought of as just being wrenches thrown in space. That you're just throwing the piece of stuff, but the stuff never leaves. So in a sense, it's circular. The motion inside the water can never get out because the matter never gets out. And that's sort of where I'm heading, is that you can only get rid of heat or motion by actually ejecting matter, electrons and protons. And if you don't eject them, you can't get rid of your heat. So that's, that's sort of where I'm sitting. I'm sitting, saying, so let's say you have something in space. What I thought of was a thermos bottle. You can have a thermos bottle. And, the idea is just, it's two pieces of glass, and there's a vacuum between the two pieces of glass. So there's no way for physical interaction. So there's no way for the vibration. So you put something in here that's vibrating, it's hot. So its little molecules are vibrating. And the idea is you're minimizing to the barest minimum, some little path this way, the heat can get out and vibrate the surface of the bottle and then vibrate the air. So it's all these transitions. So the idea is in space, in a real vacuum, there's no air, okay, to absorb the vibrations and take them away, you know. So in a sense, you know, space would be like the thermos bottle. It'd be really hard once you put something hot in, right? Unlike the thermos bottle, it's going to be a perfect vacuum, and it's not going to have any pathways to get rid of your energy. So you're going to be sitting in an environment that's a perfect thermos bottle. So how do you get rid of your heat? You know, it's in the bottle. How do you get rid of it? Where can it go? How can it get out? So we have this idea that the thermal radiation, like infrared. Well, you know, it's got some obvious defects in terms of a way of thinking about that radiation as actually being your energy. So it's almost like the induction argument, you know, where you have the magnetic induction and, you know, the electromagnetic, as they call it. When, you know, what you're really saying is if something's happening in this way, you know, you're sending electricity through a wire and somehow there's a side effect. But it's just a side effect. It's not the energy of the wire that you're losing through the induction part. The induction part isn't the energy. It's a side effect. It's not energy. You know, as funny as that sounds, it's really not. It's a signal. Okay, it's the energy that already exists with a pattern on it. And that's pretty much the only difference. And if you increase the frequency, you decrease the density. You know, it's like the difference between the radio wave and the laser beam. You know, the one is moving atoms all over the place, and one of them is just moving atoms in one little tiny location. Same energy, completely different frequency, and the difference is the density of the signal. I don't know quite what else to call this, the stuff. But anyway, so this is, you know, so I'm in the process. So it takes, you know, you have to go through this process of thinking of these different scenarios. Okay, the blob of water. So I put the blob of water in space all by itself. Okay, and I just release it as a perfect little blob of water. And then I poke it. And what is it going to do? Well, you could argue that some percentage of its energy is going to spread to all the molecules collectively, and the blob is going to move in this direction over time. It's going to gain a velocity. And it's going to be doing this jiggling thing because part of the energy won't be very efficient. Part of the energy will be converted into motion in all kinds of other directions. And so it's going to go at some whatever velocity, and it's also going to be doing this funny shape thing. And theoretically, it would do that forever. Just like throwing the wrench, there's no way for these little wrenches to lose their energy. You know, there's no contact with any other physical matter to absorb the energy. And yes, where it's blobbing out, it'll send a signal. You know, I mean, we see it, so the light's reflecting off of it, right? So we'll see that it's moving, so it's sending a signal, but the signal isn't saying, it's not saying much. I mean, it's not like it took energy to make the signal, because the signal is really being made out of energy already hitting the object anyway, and all you're doing is changing, you know, a frequency like this, and you might turn it into a frequency like this. So you're just changing the frequency of the motion of the object, but you're not changing how many little electrons and protons are actually moving to create that. The density changes again. So this equals this in terms of energy. Now, obviously, regular physics thinks this is automatically more energy. Well, if it is, if you have the same density. But the argument is that what you're really doing is taking little bits of momentum, little things, and all you're doing is changing, you know, this spread, and you're really just saying, well, we're going to change where the empty space is, the proportion of empty space. Okay, we just draw this is the empty space, and we're just going to change these dimensions. So instead, we're going to have less empty space between the objects and more empty space here and here. And that's all you're really doing when you're increasing the frequency, is you're just changing the ratio of empty space. You're not changing the, you're not changing, this is what, you're just changing the pattern of the empty space to the little bits, but you're not changing the absolute amount of space, okay, versus bit. Okay, you still have the same bits in the same space. So in a sense, you don't have any more energy. You've just changed the where the energy is located relative to space. So you've changed the Morse code. So it's dot, 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 or dot, dot, dot. And the thing you have to figure out is that this empty space and this empty space just ends up being here and here. Okay, so you haven't changed anything. You still have the same amount of energy in the universe. This is the same energy. It's just in a different form. And one form you can convert, another form you can't convert, would be the argument. One form you can see, one form you can't see. Same energy. It's just that some are detectable. Some, it's like the microwaves vibrating the water molecule. You know, we wouldn't use microwave ovens if they weren't specifically causing water to do something important, you know, vibrate, triggering water. So without this detector of the microwaves, the oven would be useless. All right, so I'll erase that and continue with the. So the point is that yes, something gets hot in space. How does it get rid of the heat? And you know, the interesting part, I think, is that it has to get rid of it by actually radiating its matter. It actually has to release something with a velocity. It can't change the velocity of the force, right? So in these scenarios where I'm talking about this force getting compressed and uncompressed, you know, my hand moving forward and collecting photons, I've taken photon pieces of energy out of the space here and I've compressed them into the space here. And the key ingredient, well, I'll get to it, is that it depends on what's around you. If there's nothing around you to for the energy to bounce off of and come back at you, then yes, you know, that's quite a different circumstance than if you can get rid of it. Then, you know, it goes and it just keeps going. It stays away from you. It doesn't come back. All right, yeah, well, I'll get to that as I get to it. So, I'll be back. All right, so I was just thinking about other experiments, you know, I would do in the little satellite box with the arms, and be like, you take the hard drive platter, you know, with a nice bearing, and you just mechanically spin it, okay? Just give it some momentum, spin it, all right? And, you know, have it clamped or something so it can't go anywhere, and you spin it and then you release it and just let it spin. You know, how long will it spin? You know, it's an interesting question. And then, you know, the difference would be, yes, you actually have the bearing connected or unconnected, and how long does it spin one versus the other? Because, you know, theoretically it should just keep spinning, right? You put in a little bit of motion, to just keep spinning, and as long as you didn't give it any direction, you know, you just perfectly spun it. Like I said, you have to, I think, release it would be the point. And so you could just have it sitting there spinning. And so how long would it spin? And theoretically, it's got to spin forever. But then if you connect the bearings, then you can argue that, okay, well, now I'm dissipating the heat. I'm spreading the heat to other places. And that heat is being created by the spinning and the bearing and contact, and that the energy of the spin will completely be converted into heat in the bearing, and it'll be dissipated through the other material object. But then how does the rest of that matter get rid of the heat? I mean, how do you get rid of heat, you know, in space? Is there any theoretical way for the heat to go into space. Because it's the heat is really just motion. And how do I make space move? That's sort of the argument, right? I mean, how do you make space, the stuff in the space, move? It's already going the speed of light. So the theory is that the force bits are already going the speed of light. They can't go any faster. So I can't add energy to the force bits. Okay, I can't make them have more energy. And so the only way I can change an object, in which I have, it's moving based on what hits it. Now, how do I change how it moves? Is that I have to hit it with more bits. Doesn't matter, frequency doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether I hit it with bits, these three bits, or I hit it with these three bits. The idea is I'm hitting it with exactly the same momentum. This is the same momentum as this. It's three bits of energy that force the matter, the electrons, to go this way a certain amount. It's a certain closed amount, and I can't change that. And so I hit this side with three extra ones of these, right? Both sides of the universe are equal in theory, and then I send three more. And it doesn't matter whether they're three at, 1 kilohertz or three at 1 gigahertz. Same difference, as long as it's the same amount. Obviously, if I send more at the higher frequency, that's more energy. But if I send the same amount of energy, that is the same amount of bits, okay, one photon, so to speak, it wouldn't matter which kind of photon it is, because it's just to the electrons, it's just impact with bits of, these are the bits of energy. And it isn't, like I said, it can't theoretically make any difference how far they're spaced apart, as long as the total amount is the same, right? I mean, this is going to be the same as this. It's just three hunks of energy. And the fact that there's more empty space here doesn't mean anything, because the empty space is here instead of here. It doesn't change anything. Probably could be drawn better. Could be in the camera better. All right. So I have an object in space and I've given it a vibration. So now it's, the energy is going back and forth inside of it. And so I call it hot because it's vibrating. Right? We're just really saying it's the same as the blob of water, and I poke it and I make it vibrate, right? I mean, heat is basically the same thing. You're just saying the little bits inside of it are doing that. Okay? They're just vibrating. That's all that's happening. And so all I can do is like energy will be coming in from the universe at a certain rate, and I'm vibrating, my atoms are vibrating. So whatever the vibration rate of the atoms is that's what it's doing on the surface. The surface is vibrating at the rate of the atoms. So I'm just using the water as an example of, that's the simplest vibration, is this, the big blob of stuff, the whole atoms are moving. And realistically, what we're really saying is that the smaller universe, the sun and the planets, that's the real universe, and it's their vibrations in the empty space that's really controlling what the solar system does. All right, so if stuff comes in, and the faster I vibrate, right, the more I'm going to condense whatever hits me. So if it comes in hitting me with, red light, my vibration can make it blue light. And obviously, if I'm vibrating slower than that rate, I can redshift it. I can take the blue light, will be trying to hit me, but I'm vibrating so slowly that the blue light gets absorbed in one direction and gets compressed in the other. So I'll be converting more of the blue light into red light than I will be creating blue light into ultraviolet light. So if I'm vibrating faster, I'll increase the frequency of this crap hitting me. And if I'm vibrating slower, then I will decrease the frequency. All right, and so another step. See, I mean, the layers here are just, there's a lot of layers. So what we're really talking about ultimately is an atom, with its little nucleus. And then the idea is that the electrons are at different distances, consistent with geometry, right? So I could make a square here, and I could understand that, well, this one wouldn't be here. Erase him. Okay. And then I would put another electron here, and another electron here, another electron here, another electron here. And then I'd put an electron here, and then I'd put an electron here, and then I'd put an electron here, and then I'd put an electron here. So that gives me what are called the orbitals, right? I mean, this one, this one, this one and this one, this one and this one, those are connected. And this one's connected to this one, it's connected to this one, it's connected to this one, in terms of pressure. All right, so obviously these have greater distances from each other the further out you go. So those would be your low energy electrons, right? Because they can't communicate with each other nearly as fast. There's a huge delay. This one moves, there's a big delay before this one knows it happened, where the closer you get to the nucleus, the faster the message gets sent. And so obviously a jiggle rate would be much higher inside the atom, deep, and it would be much less on the outside. So physics thinks this is high energy, that when something goes from here to in here, okay, that somehow it releases energy. When, no, that's the one that takes energy. You need to apply energy to get something in here because there's much more pressure. There's much more crap going on. There's much more density. It's all compact. It's dense. All right, this is the loose, easy part. And it's when an electron comes out and goes from this energy level to this energy level that you've released pressure, because now these three here, so you have four here. If you kick one of these out, now you only have three. So you've lost pressure, because now they're going to be here, here, and here, right? They're going to, you know, they're going to be further apart, right? So if I want the same area, you know, and I'm making it with a triangle, or I make it with a square, they're going to be much further apart when there's a triangle. All right. Well, anyway, so that's the, you know, it shouldn't be too offensive to people to say, yeah, I sort of get that, yes, there's geometry, and that, you know, I shouldn't really mess with this orbital stuff. You know, this stuff is like magnets. It's just, these things are frozen in these positions. They're locked in these positions. All right. And then this gets to the whole argument, like, you know, a Feynman diagram draws it like, I'm trying to remember how he draws the arrows. Well, anyway, you know, like this hits A, hits B, and then he does the squiggly photon comes out. Well, the idea is that a single electron really can't do that. Can't create the whole phenomenon called photon. It can only create an element of it. You know, it can only collect so much force and push so much force. And, you know, photons are more complicated than that. And they have a polarization, which is critical to understanding how it really can't be one electron that makes a photon. But anyway, that's for another subject. All right. So, so the idea is that these things are the things moving back and forth. These are the things stuck in tension. So if this one moves, then this one moves, then this one moves, and this one moves, and this one moves. And just like the water, this is the elasticity. These electrons make the thing elastic, like the water, and I poke it and it goes back and forth forever, theoretically. That's the same circumstance the electrons are stuck in. And they can't give their energy to the field. They can't go in this direction. Let's say it moves from point A to point B. Even though it's going to, you know, it's going to plow into a certain number of force bits when it does that, and it doesn't matter, you know, as long as it goes from point A to point B, it's going to hit them, and it doesn't matter how fast it goes, it just matters it's going to hit them. So changing the frequency doesn't make the electron lose energy. It doesn't lose any energy because it, you know, I plow into something and there's a whole bunch of it right here in front of me, and then there's nothing for a whole big period. It's the same difference as if I put this, if I spread the density across a whole bunch of spaces. So it doesn't matter whether I hit, say if I'm going to hit 10 bricks, I can put the 10 bricks right in a row, Or I can put one brick and then space and another brick and space and another brick. It's the same shit I gotta push. So I can't lose my jiggle energy to the field. Unless the field itself has more energy in it to take it away from me. So if I'm just sitting in neutral space, I can't lose the energy anywhere. And even if the field comes at me with more energy, that just means I'm going to jiggle in a smaller space. It's not going to take away the fact that I have this wobble, this motion, this heat. So there's heat. The heat is just these things moving. And so that's, you know, what we call heat, is these, you know, how much are the electrons moving about, you know, in these positions. And obviously the stuff in the middle would be creating, you know, high frequency infrared, and the ones in the different locations are going to be producing lower and lower frequency infrared across the spectrum. And obviously when you get some stuff jiggling, right, you'll be able to create the visible light frequency, because the stuff coming in is going to have frequency. So again, if a piece, it's just a piece of an infrared photon, all right, comes in and hits one of these electrons, and it's doing the high rate of jiggle, that means it's going to be sending back the reflection quicker. And so the reflection will be, it won't take as long. And so it's going to compress the reflection, because it's going to send it back faster, because it's moving faster in a smaller space. So it's going to, increase the, infrared radiation went in, and, a visible photon is going to come out in terms of the frequency. All right. It's not a perfect way to say it, but I'm just trying to get to the point that the stuff comes in, and all it can do is change the frequency. It can't change the amount of stuff, because it's at equilibrium. And so there's no way to get rid of it unless it does this, get rid of the electron itself. So if it shoots an electron off the island, then it can cool down, because now it's gotten rid of the yang that would continue the oscillation. The player that was going to pull on these other objects and move them, that player left. So you lost. It's like if I did have a box and I just had BBs in it, you've now, because you've allowed the piece of the box to fly off, you've allowed the energy associated with that piece of the box moving to leave. It won't reflect, and therefore the same energy is going to be hitting this side, and not the same energy will hit this side, because you've let that piece fly off. And it's realistically, So this gets sort of like to how, they started to use electronic devices to move satellites. So they're basically using electricity to create thrust. And they're doing it, I think, in these kind of ways. I think they use like a Peltier thing, where one side gets hot and one side gets cold. Okay, so you put electricity in, and one side gets colder and one side gets hotter. And that's what they're using. And the fact is the only way it gets rid of the radiation, right? Excreting infrared radiation won't do it any good. It can't lose its energy that way. It has to, just like the thermos bottle, in a sense, right? The infrareds can get, it can't go through glass. But regardless, the infrared radiation, that's sort of a good point, right? I mean, glass blocks infrared radiation, so it can't escape. But even if it could, I don't think it matters. All right. And so what's really happening is the side that's getting hot is actually giving away electrons. And over time, you'll see it. So over 100 years, maybe, you'll have degraded the matter. Like the side of the thing that you made hot will now have less atoms. You know, the atoms will be deteriorated because you really just gave it away. You gave away matter in a direction to allow you to go in the opposite direction, because you got rid of the closed box. You let the energy get out of the closed box. All right. You broke the equilibrium by allowing a piece of matter to leave. Just vibrating doesn't get rid of your energy because it's not an atmosphere. See, that's like I'm saying with the space shuttle. They're always doing it in this oxygen environment, blah, 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 blah. They do these experiments. And it's just kind of useless because it's like doing it underwater. It's like using a tuning fork underwater or something. Obviously, all the fun effects are going to dissipate into the air. So, you know, you're not going to see how it would really act in a weightless and atmosphere-less environment. Because the atmosphere is a huge friction when you think about it. I mean, when you think about the difference between air and water, I mean, it's just a huge amount of friction that air creates in terms of the number of molecules you have to spread your energy to, that you give it away to. And that's how you give it away, is to contact other matter and push it in a place where it doesn't come back. If the energy doesn't come back, okay, so if you're swirling in a circle, I don't know if you can see that, well, barely, you know, you got some energy, and obviously if you start spinning, so you hit something else and cause it to spin. I mean, obviously this spin isn't going to make this spin more. This one lost the energy to this one, and this one has to stop spinning to give this one more energy. So there's no, you know, you gave it away. But that's the only way you can get rid of the energies. You have to give it to something else with matter. And if you don't push a piece of matter, then you can't get rid of it. Because the energy is just motion. And the motion, so how to say it, the vibration is in the universe. You know, it's just the same hot universe is hitting everything. Is the same temperature, in a sense, of the same base temperature. So even though space seems really, really cold, that base temperature is really, really hot because it's still full of energy coming from all directions hitting everything. Yeah. All right. So I'll pause and think if there's something else. So this is what I'm thinking through. So, you know, that's the complexity of it, is you have to think about what the little electron is doing. And then what's that causing the nucleus to do, and what causes the whole atom to do, and can any of that motion on its own, just by moving in space, can the wrench moving in space give away its energy? Is there some place it can lose it to? And that's the part that's kind of interesting, because it appears no. You know, not unless it's going to lose a piece of itself, it can't lose any energy. So until it throws away some matter, it can't throw away the energy. All right, I think I'll just call it a video. So start or finish, you know, whether this is the first statement or the last statement, it's like a Newtonian law. So I could make a Newtonian law and say that any kind of motion is just heat in one direction. So if the direction goes back and forth, we call it heat. If the motion continues in one direction, we call it, you know, velocity, or we call it energy, or we call it something else. But it's the same thing. It's just motion is heat in one direction. Yeah. So, yeah, enough of a video. So, just doing some thinking myself. So, like I said, completely draft video in terms of, it's just me trying to find out where you get to any where the key difference is. And again, the argument is, it's just like induction, you know, the real energy is moving the electrons through the wire. A side effect is the change in frequency of the energy bouncing off the wire. And it's the reflected energy, the energy that's already hitting the wire, and you're reflecting it at a specific frequency. It's that signal that can create electricity in some other conductor, but it's not the actual energy of the electricity. It's just creating the phenomenon in another wire as a consequence of the fact that it's changed the frequency. How else to say that? And the fact is they have to be in proximity, because they will equalize, right? The counter current created because you've created current in the other wire means that you're going to get the reflection back. So I guess that would be the next draft part, was to deal with, you know, say if I do poke something with my finger, right? So you have a blob of something and I go to poke it. What am I really doing? It's almost just like this hand pushing photons, where I could argue, like I've said, if I could move my hand at the speed of light, you could understand that every single photon could not reflect off my hand. You know, the reflecting speed would be the same as my speed, so all of the photons would hit and continue in my direction. I've reversed their direction. I'm going to reflect them. Now they're going the same way I am. I'm going the speed of light. They're stuck on my hand. So all of the photons, all of the energy that hits my hand between here and here, if I move at the speed of light, all of that energy, all of that, you know, all the microwaves, all the radio waves, all the energy, all the gravity, I've collected it and compressed it into one blob of energy. All of the little bits will now hit all at the same time. And if I just stop my hand with some magic, you'd understand that that energy will just move through, keep going through space as this condensed blob. And so that's sort of like gamma ray bursts or something. It's this condensing, okay, of a whole bunch of what was in a bunch of space has now been compressed into a tiny bit of space, and that blob of momentum hits something. That's why they have such power, is because they've compressed what was in a lot of space into a tiny amount of space. What else do I want to say about that? Yeah, so the idea is if my finger is going to hit something, what's it really doing? The electrons are pushing reflections ahead of them, okay? And so as my finger gets closer and closer, all those pushes are adding up, just like a compression wave in front of a train, you know, the sound wave. I'm compressing, okay, a bunch of force, and it's that compression that this thing's going to react to. So I haven't added force. I've just taken something and compressed the force between me and some other piece of matter, and now it's going to be displaced. But yeah. So there's no real contact. We already know. I think you already know there's no real contact. You know, I think anybody who knows anything about physics knows nothing actually hits anything, you know, except maybe the protons and the electrons. I think they actually do stick to each other. You know, that's why nucleuses are really small, is because they're really stuck to each other. So anyway, and that's when the neutron is a neutron, in the sense of really being neutral, you know, in a sense, because it's part of the other particles. And it doesn't, you know, and it's when you pull it out of an atom that it falls apart. But anyway, yeah, that's probably enough. Yeah, I'm just not doing this. I'm not illustrating my point about it's the same amount of energy. So when my finger's here and the thing is here, it's the same amount of energy, the same amount of reflections back and forth. And all I'm doing by moving closer is changing how often that pressure is felt, but I haven't made more energy.
say that? Well, anyway, I'll get around to figuring out a way to say that. I haven't made any more heat. It's all you're doing is transferring it. That might be the way to say it. I'm transferring the heat from me to from my finger to the object. My finger has to, you know, deal with the fact that when it hits it, it's going to feel like a counter force. There's no counter force. There's just compressing the force and allowing me to communicate whatever vibrations I have can now get inside of you because you're giving me feedback. You're sending it back to me. It's probably not the right way to say it either. Well, anyway, it's close enough. It's a kind of contact. And it allows something else to vibrate. So the more stuff you put around something, the more it's able to dissipate its heat. But the less there is around it, the less it would be able to dissipate its heat in space. Could be the argument. And it would only be because of the fact that you're getting back the energy, you're getting back the signal you sent, you're getting the same signal back again because it's reflecting off the other object. Not even right. No, because the other object's absorbing it. That's not right either. Never mind. All right, yeah. I'll just break what I already fixed. Anyway, enough of a video. So, till the next time and such. So forth and whatnot. This has been draftphysics.com, debatephysics.com also, but no one capable of discussing anything reasonably and rationally. Nope. They're all fucking assholes.